Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour, the morning edition. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson. And today we always talk some Texas corn. And with me today, I have Mr. Wesley Spurlock talking a little bit about the corn industry and Texas corn. How are you doing today, Mr. Spurlock?
Doing good, Brian. It's an awfully pretty day up here today. Nice, cool fall weather as we're getting close to fall coming out of the end of a hot, miserable summer.
I'm liking this little preview of fall. Hopefully it'll stick around a little longer and we can get fall in sooner. But to get us started, Mr. Spurlock, what do you do with Texas corn? And I know that you're a producer yourself. Where do you farm at and how much do you farm?
We farm in Sherman County. I live in Stratford, and we have farms that kind of from Stratford to Sunray and across to Cactus. So we've got a little bit of land scattered all across Sherman County. We've got quite a bit of corn. I mean, got about 6,000 acres of corn in this year, and that has been a tough summer on most of it.
Well, I got to ask, you know, as a producer right now, we talk to, you know, major commodity groups all the time, and we always try to talk about the producer side, but we never hear the voice of the producer. How hard has it been this year, you know, with the drought, with, you know, input costs as they are, everything else in between, with supply and demand, getting things to places? How hard has it been for you as a producer?
This has probably been the most expensive year that we've ever had, with natural gas prices just exploded, and the cost of our irrigation fuel is probably four times higher than it had been. We've just had tremendous amount of money we've had to invest in that side of the deal. Finding some of the herbicides this year wasn't very easy. Some insecticides have been short. Everything is up and more expensive. Fertilizers have been just outrageous. When they're double what they were a year ago, double to triple what they were a year ago, and they're kind of backing off a little now, but they're still extremely expensive. So when we're looking at $6, $7, $8 corn, it's going to take every bit of it to cover the excess expenses that showed up this time around. So we're not looking at windfalls of profit. We're looking at some way to try to just hold it together and be able to go to next year and hope for a better year next year.
Well, we talked about a little bit, you know, it's been a struggle. Everything's expensive. But, you know, how did the crops kind of turn out this year? How are they looking before we get ready for harvest? I know we've got a lot of silage harvest happening already. How are things panning out for you?
I think what I'm hearing here in Sherman County right now and Moore County, a lot of the silage is about half the yields they were expecting. And we know that we've got grain cornfield on some, and we've got our earliest corn that we planted in probably around the 20th of April to about the 5th of May. When that 100-degree weather got here the last 2 weeks of June, it caught that corn at a really critical time frame, and none of that corn appears to be good. We've got some stuff that just, with irrigation running on it and going, it attempted to burn up. When we start cutting, we really think we've got corn under 100 bushels that on circles that were 250 bushel last year, when we got moisture. But we had no rain on our farm, so we went through a time frame where we've got a welding shop and a steel cell here in Sunray. We had 7.5 inches of rain here at our welding shop, which just kind of rusts steel that's outside, and north 4 miles we got 2 inches, and then you go on up through our farms and we just 2 inches to nothing through that, probably through a 3-month time frame.
Wow. Well, you know, another big thing that's kind of affecting agriculture in general is getting things to places. You know, here up here in the High Plains, we rely a lot on, you know, the railroads, even Texas wheat, Texas corn, everybody else in between. And we've got some problems coming up on the railroad issue right now as we speak. And we've kind of gotten some updates on it, but I kind of wanted to hear your opinions. How important are the railroads for corn industries throughout the nation and even here in Texas, and kind of what's going on right now in government with that aspect?
I was going to say the railroads, if there, we're a corn deficit state, Texas is, with all of our feed yard industry and the dairy industry that's come in and the pig, the hogs, and everything. So we have unit trains coming in to the Texas Panhandle every week. They just keep rolling in here with whole corn and with DDGs on them. And so it takes all of that coming in here. But then as you look at these railroads, those container cars, containers that are going through their intermodal division, those, that's where all of our products are, and everything we buy is coming in either usually out of the West Coast is what we're seeing coming in. And so the railroad, if the railroad struck and shut down our stores, our warehouses, I mean, everything that's coming and we're getting, a lot of that would begin to empty out over a short period of time, and we would come out on the wrong side of things. So we're hoping that what we saw this morning, that possibly the railroads and those 12 unions have struck a deal, a tentative deal, and they'll, that will keep those railroads going and won't even be a stop in the deal.
Well, another, excuse me, another big issue too that Texas corn is facing is atrazine. And we talk about it every week because it's that important for producers, whether it's corn, wheat, anything, actually, with this herbicide. Atrazine is kind of going under fire with the EPA, am I right?
Yes, it seems like every chemical we've got is being reviewed way more often than they ever had before. And atrazine just went through one about 4 or 5 years ago, and it's back on the chopping block again. It is used on almost all corn ground in the U.S. at some time. And it's just such an important chemical. It's been here and proven to be safe year after year for the last 30 years or so. And so atrazine is really important right now. EPA is taking comments. And so if the producers would go on to texascorn.com, go onto the website and go in and look, and you can see there is a place where you can click onto and you can leave comments with the EPA and tell them how important atrazine is to the ag economy and to corn growers across the nation.
Well, I got to ask, in your opinion, what do you think kind of like spurred this out of, you know, to be reviewed and could be even limited or restricted in some places? What do you think brought this up more towards the government?
We continue to get an onslaught from the environmental groups, the NGOs, non-governmental agencies, a lot of those, they just continue to file suits and file grievances at EPA and in court, and they continue to cause these things to happen. And so it's what we're seeing is individuals that really don't understand how production agriculture works and what they need to keep the food in the world and in the U.S. And so that's the major problem that we have right now. It's just the environmental side continuing to push and trying to do away with what it takes to raise some of these crops, and not really understanding that if they do, everything gets more expensive and there will be less of it for everybody.
Well, I've also got to ask, you know, how important is it for producers, whether you're a wheat producer, corn producer, sorghum, or cattle producer, whatever it may be, how important is it for them to voice their opinions and say, hey, this is what we need. This is what I do on a daily basis. How important is it?
That's really important, because your voice is worth a lot more than any representatives or our senators actually going into these agencies, into EPA, and anything that we try to get you to talk about and work with, because they really want to hear the people that are on the ground doing the work, the farmers and the farm families across the United States and Texas, and they want those people to, they want to hear their voice and their opinion, and it weighs real strongly in what they look at and how strongly they continue to use scientific information and not get into the environmental side of it.
Well, and to kind of, ask another thing is, we've talked a lot about the Farm Bill. We're about to have to start that process all over again to reauthorize it and figure out new programs. And you, as a producer, we hear all the time, this is what people want, whether it's crop insurance, focusing more on, ERPs, other things like that. But you, as a producer, what are you wanting to see out of, the Farm Bill and out of policies later on down the road?
Well, as we get into this Farm Bill, we want to make sure that we hold the money that's there, that it continues to be there, and possibly try to get our baselines improved and jumped up. But we really farm the risk management, the federal crop insurance is really important to us. But then the market access programs, the MAP, and then the FMD, which are for exports that go to either USMEF or U.S. Grains Council, United Soybean, all of these different, everybody is working to advertise and export out of the U.S. so that that little bit that we do get to export continues to get exported. And it takes those funds to keep those offices open around the world, to keep those markets open.
Well, Mr. Spurlock, again, thank you so much for coming out, talking a little bit about your operation, what you want to see out of the corn industry, and what's happening as we head off into harvest, and some people wrapping up and some people about to kick off. But again, thank you so much for coming out and talking a little bit with us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the call, and I wish everybody a safe and successful harvest during this fall season.
Again, a huge shout out and thank you to Wesley for coming out, talking a little bit about what's happening on his own operation, Texas corn, the corn industry, everything that you needed to know, what's happening in agriculture. Thank you again, Mr. Spurlock. It was a great, great time talking with him. Of course, don't forget there is a new episode of Pasture to Pavement, Agriculture, the Original Innovators, out from yesterday. It's me and David Lovejoy talking a little bit about that railroad strike that was about to happen today, some of the tentative deals that were going on and all that aspect, as well as some of the growing concerns in agriculture and what we should do as media individuals and ourselves as producers and agriculturalists out there. So make sure you give it a listen on Spotify, our website, and even my Facebook page, KGNC Agribusiness News. We've got some great stuff happening there, so make sure you catch it. And of course, don't forget, we won't be having a afternoon show today. The Texas Rangers kick off at 5:30 today. So no afternoon ag show, but make sure you catch us tomorrow morning for the weekend edition of the Golden Spread for all the interviews that you missed, as well as Pasture to Pavement on Saturday. And breaking news, we do have a new ag show happening later in the evening at 9 p.m. for the Alpha Media Insight. We're going to be playing right after them. So make sure you catch us. It's all the greatest headlines that you need, some interviews that you might have missed before we start off the week. I know it is a little later than normal, but if you can catch us again on Sundays at 9 p.m. for the afternoon evening ag show, it's going to be a great one. But of course, we'll catch you on Monday morning at 5 a.m. for the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, signing off. You have a great and blessed rest of your Friday.